But the most important thing that I had to teach myself was that mind change, that I am able to build something from nothing, that I am able to do something and change my destiny, which many people doubted, which many people said is not possible.
Hello and welcome to The Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and I am so excited to share our guest with you today. His name is Dr. Reza Zahidi, and it's interesting because most people who call themselves entrepreneurs are just playing business, following the same tired formulas that lead to predictable, ordinary results. Real success, the kind that builds wealth, power, and lasting impact, doesn't come from following rules. It comes from breaking them. In his newest book, which is available everywhere tomorrow, Self-Made Maverick, Dr. Reza, who is a leading figure in international real estate, delivers a powerful manifesto for those who refuse to settle. And as amazing as the book is, his story is even more remarkable, which I can't wait to share with you. Dr. Reza, welcome to The Daily Helping. It is fantastic to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Richard. Thank you for having me.
It's absolutely my pleasure. So I teased it. So now we've got to deliver. Your story is incredible, and especially given what's going on in the world, it's even more relevant today. So I would love you to share your journey with our audience before we get into Self-Made Maverick.
Absolutely. I started very early. I started when I was 13 years old. Going back, we fled Iran when I was a little kid. We fled the war-torn Iran. Things haven't changed much, to be honest, in the country. But we were lucky enough to move, and we moved to Holland, thanks to my mother. It was just me and her. And we built everything from zero, from scratch. I started working and started my business journey when I was 13 years old. Started with newspapers. Early morning, right before school, when my friends and other students were sleeping, I would get up and get my bicycle ready to go and distribute the newspapers to the neighborhoods that I used to live in. And fast forward a couple of years, I started my chain of nightclubs, construction company. Besides that, I was studying to become a civil engineer, something that I've always dreamt about. And this is where it got me today. I'm a civil engineer that is writing a book and hopefully publishing tomorrow successfully to share my story in depth and help the younger version of someone like me, someone that's stuck, someone that is building something from zero, which is possible. And yeah, I'm hoping to help a lot of young people and kids, people between 18 and 30, 35 is what I'm looking at.
I love that. And I don't think many people really understand what it was like during the Iranian Revolution in 79 when the Shah was deposed and the mullahs went in. It's interesting. So here in Atlanta, we recently had, about a month ago, some very, very severe weather. I don't usually get riled up about what they tell me is going to happen with the weather, but this was like, you have to find shelter. There's a very good chance that tornadoes are going to destroy. Wouldn't they have all these magical, like Torcon and all these, number systems that they've created to tell you how severe a storm or risk for tornadoes was? And we were like the maximum you could have. And I went through my home with my wife and I said, okay, if everything is destroyed and we have to start over with nothing, what do we keep? And it ended up just being some old photographs of family And I had a painting of my dad that's very special to me. And that was it. And those things that I could basically, if everything I owned was just completely destroyed and blown away by a tornado, that's what I would keep. And so, you know, we get so caught up in stuff and things, but you and your mom fled Iran. You didn't know what was going to happen. You had absolutely no idea what the end result was going to be. And you lost everything you owned, right? You had to leave pretty much everything behind that you couldn't carry. So I don't think people think about it in that context, because that was a period of time where people just, they got to get out. Do we either want to be with our stuff or do we want to die? And fortunately for all of us, your mom made the right choice and got you to Holland. So it sounds like out of necessity, you became an entrepreneur, right? Because you didn't have anything. And so now you're doing the paper route and then later nightclubs. Tell us some more of the foundational things that impacted the way you view entrepreneurship today.
The foundation started right from the get-go when we fled Iran. I mean, my mother was only 20 years old. Maybe something that a lot of people can't imagine today. Being 20 years old, having a small child, only 1 year old, and fleeing a country with nothing. Like you just mentioned, a lot of people, millions of people left everything behind. The only thing we had was maybe $500 back in the days that we were able to take with us. And everything else was left behind. And a picture, you know, family pictures were obviously taken with us as well. But there's nothing you could really take with you in a situation like that. It's very unfortunate. So it started from the get-go, from there, when I was a little kid, seeing my mom struggle and grind through the whole process of building a new life, building a new home. And besides all that, she's still 20 years old, trying to learn a new language, trying to build a new a career for herself and raise a child that's not even a year old. So I was kind of always around the person that was trying to fight and figure out the next steps in her life, which led me to think differently. And I'm thankful for that. I've always valued money. Because of her struggles and pain that I've seen her go through over the years, and this is what helped me. And the hunger that I had to make something out of this change that we went through, the hunger that I had to make it count, all the struggle and grind that, you know, she went through, but the entire country went through. I mean, there's a lot of great Iranians out there that had to go and had positions and careers that were lovely. I mean, it was great. And they had to go and move to the States, to Europe, to any country in the world and start from zero. And luckily, a lot of them got successful and built that what they wanted to build because of that hunger that they have in them. I mean, that's what motivated a lot of Iranians.
Absolutely. And so now I want to move forward in your story. You're now an entrepreneur. You mentioned the nightclubs. Talk to us about how your career progressed over time, because I know you had a lot of other business dealings, which have been very successful. So talk to us about the growth and some of the things that you did along the way.
So I started at 13. I always, as soon as I hit the age 13, I stopped asking my mother for money because I knew that was a difficult question to ask and a difficult place to put at. There was just no money there. So I started working, earning my own money, which wasn't a lot. Stepped out of worked in a lot of industries. I've been in fast food. I've been in fitness studios. I've been in hotels. Done everything possible to make a living out of it. But the most important thing that I had to teach myself was that mind change, that I am able to build something from nothing, that I am able to do something and change my destiny. Which many people doubted, which many people said is not possible. You know, family members that we used to talk to, it's not possible, you know. And that was the first thing that I had to learn and change in my life, is the mindset of you can do this, you have to change it. I was starting going to school in Holland. And at a young age, I was very fascinated by commercial real estate. It was always something I loved. It was always between residential and commercial real estate that we had to debate. And it was something about commercial real estate that fascinated me. Could have been due to movies as a young child, looking at watching movies in, you know, the New York buildings and all those massive, beautiful skyscrapers. And that got me into civil engineering just because of the beautiful architecture of those buildings out there. As soon as I hit the age of 19, I had the option to study in London or in Germany. I had earned myself through careers. I had a small income and a small car that I was able to purchase for myself. And I was given the option by my mother to sell my car and invest it in my studies in London, which would have been the best thing for me to do, or stay in Germany, a new country for me again, with a new language and start up all over again, but with a free school system, because we didn't have to pay in Germany. And that's where I decided to stay in Germany, save my money, and invest it into a business that could potentially make me money while I study. And this is how this nightclub business came all along. The plan was to go ahead and start a small cafe or a bar for me to serve normal drinks, coffee, a daily bistro, as you like to call. But I wasn't able to find the perfect location for that scene, as I was looking for, a nice spot with a place to sit outside, a cozy place. It was just not there. I was living in a small village in Germany and not a big city. And I was connected to a partner of mine, ex-partner of mine, that was in a club business. And he proposed the idea of me becoming a partner with him and starting our own first nightclub. It was my first and his fourth. So he had the experience. He needed my connections at the university for me to promote the events at the university, get the students in there, and he would take care of the rest.
And then from there, you went on. Commercial real estate was obviously something that you've been involved in for many years. I'm curious, because I know I'm doing a huge time jump here. What was the thing that popped into your head? What was the light bulb moment when you said, I really need to write this book? So when you decided you were going to write Self-Made Maverick, why? What was the reason that you chose to do that?
I decided to write a book years ago, maybe about 8-9 years ago. It's been a long coming dream of mine to do this book, and the reason behind it was just the younger version of myself, of having no one to tell me what's coming, the sacrifices that I have to make, and I had people ask me all the time, "How did you make it?" Because they thought I had made it. Everyone just saw the end result of my career, the end result of my nightclubs, of my real estate business, but no one really understood what I went through to get there. And I had people that I used to mentor and still mentor, and they would ask me, "You're lucky. How did you make it? Can you please explain it to us?" And this is when I thought I should write a book and explain to people that it is just not as you think it might be. I mean, it is a very difficult journey. There's a lot of setbacks. There's a lot of pain and suffering that goes into building a new business, especially when you come from zero background or no background at all. It's not easy. And social media has not made things easier for the younger generation these days. The things you see online and the things that you start comparing yourself with have made things so much more difficult for the younger generation these days. And the Self-Made Maverick is there, or was written, just to shed a light and explain to the reader that, hey, it is possible, but there's a lot that you have to sacrifice and go through. And it's not about cars and houses and clothing. It is about sacrifice and showing up when nobody is there. And there will be no clapping, there will be no awards for many, many months, maybe even years.
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. Well, you said a lot of things here that are right on point. In fact, there's a lot of really good scientific research that's been conducted that shows that the more you're on social media, the more you're posting, the more you're engaging in other posts, that the more unhappy you may end up being. And that's for a whole lot of reasons. And I think you're also right on that, you know, before social media existed, the idea of business, I mean, yeah, we had shows back in the day, like, what was it, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, you know, stuff like that. But generally speaking, people had this kind of nebulous idea of what entrepreneurship looked like, I think, and they would assign their own mental ideals and values and outcome expectations to what that looked like. But then when social media started flooding people's pages with posts of people in mansions with 20 Lamborghinis and the champagne and the lifestyle, that's what people thought was real. And 95% of those videos are people that don't own the car. They pay somebody to use their mansion for an hour, and they're, you know, it's all fake. Right. So I love that you are pointing out to people that it's a journey and it's a process and it's not an overnight thing. So I want to dive into kind of the core tenets of self-made maverick. So tell us, you know, as you were writing this and putting this together, you know, what are some really important things that people need to know about entrepreneurship?
The most important thing I would say is failure. Failure is something a lot of people fear, a lot of people are scared of. Not just in the entrepreneurial business, even in your private life. A lot of people are just scared to fail in certain things. It could be the easiest thing that you do in your daily routine. And this is a word that you, as an entrepreneur, as a businessman, or as a private person that does have a normal job from 9 to 5, needs to get familiar with and in a relationship with. I mean, it needs to be so close to you that you wake up understanding it, admiring it, and you know, understanding that this failure or that failure is a part of your journey. I mean, it is something that will come no matter where you are in life. It is not a setback. It is not something negative. It is not a breakdown. It is a lesson. And once you understand that failure is a lesson and not a setback, I think that will take you a long way. That'll help you along the way extremely, extremely. Yeah, but I think that's the most important message that I want to put out there, failure. But a lot of people just, unfortunately, due to social media as well, have forgotten to understand.
Well, I think there's a couple things in there that are interesting, and I can't recall who said this quote. It's not mine, so I'm not stealing it. But somebody said, you only truly fail when you stop trying, right? So to learn the lessons. Say, okay, what could I have done differently? Where did I do well? Where was I weak? You know, those are things. And I have found anecdotally that most people who are entrepreneurs, at least the good ones, embrace failure. And those that are less successful tend to be more afraid of it. And I do think social media, to keep bringing it back to this, you know, we live in a world where people expect, especially younger people, instant gratification. That is not the way business works for 99.9% of people in business. It's a grind. It's a drag. So there are myths about entrepreneurship. And I know that in Self-Made Maverick, you talk about 5 particular myths that are kind of entrenched in entrepreneurship and maybe prohibiting people from achieving the success they desire. I'd love to take a few minutes and talk about those.
So there is a couple myths out there that that I've spoken about in the book. The first one being that you need rich parents to be successful, which is definitely a myth. Especially looking at myself today, I didn't have that in my journey. I didn't have rich parents to make it. There's a lot of entrepreneurs. There's a lot of people out there that started from zero. There's a lot of great entrepreneurs out there that started from a small garage and built their, you know, everyone knows those stories of Microsoft, of a lot of these entrepreneurs that started from nothing and built their legacy from zero. So that's the first myth that I've pointed out in the book. The second myth is that there's a magic pill to success, that it is just given, just start and it will just work out for you. That's a myth. As we just discussed, there's a lot of failure and setbacks along the way that you would have to overcome to achieve that certain vision or goal that you have for your business. The third myth that I have spoken about in the book is that money is the most important thing when starting a business, which I personally have disagreed with. I think building a lasting business and creating a brand is more important than money. This is, as an example that I have also given in the book, would be Elon Musk buying his Twitter, the new company that he bought. It wasn't his capital or his money that helped him much buy it. It was the connections he had to raise the money to buy the company overvalued. So that would be one of those examples where I say, you know, money is important, but should not be on your first priority list. It could be on your third, second or third even. Fourth is that there won't be any sacrifices. People say once you earn money, once you're rich, you get to enjoy and do what you like to do and enjoy your life the way you like to enjoy it, which is a myth. I can introduce a lot of entrepreneurs. I'm sure Dr. Richard would agree with this, that as soon as you step into this ring of working for yourself and building a business, we don't have such thing as Saturday and Sunday and off days. You work almost 24/7, especially if it's a young startup that you're trying to build. And there's no such thing of enjoying and having free time. Yes, eventually, once you're there and you've made it to a certain part or certain place in life, you could, you know, grant yourself some time off. But in the first couple of years, I would tend to forget those dreams that you might have. And the last myth is that success comes through networking. I know a lot of people say your network is your net worth, but networking these days has become so much more difficult than they used to be. Because you now have to prove to a lot of people, a lot of competitors, why you are different and why you provide a different service or a different product to the people you try to network with. So these are the five myths that I've spoken about in the book. And I get deeper. I've spoken about every single one of them, I think an entire chapter. But it is those five myths that I think are very helpful for the young entrepreneur coming up there.
I want to go back to number three, because I think it connects to the other ones in different ways. Money is the most important thing was that myth. And you said money should be your second or your third thing maybe on your list. I would say that your why, like at your core, you know, why are you starting this business, right? Because even in the corporate world, we've seen a real pendulum shift where younger people want to work at companies where they know they have a mission, where they're actually making a difference. And it's not just how much cash can we grab, right? It's actually a human-centric focus, something that makes the world a better place. Because I think if you're really clear, so that you're talking about your value position, right? If you're really clear on your values and why this business is important, the no sacrifices thing, which is number four, becomes much more manageable. Because, you know, if you know that you are following your heart's desire, and if you execute successfully, now you're going to bring, you know, generational wealth to your family or have freedom to spend time with your loved ones, then the sacrifices become more tolerable. You know, right. Like you, you know, anybody who's owned a business has missed vacations, has missed celebrations, you know, it's just part of the sacrifice. The success through networking is interesting to me. And I've noticed, you know, a market change on LinkedIn over the years. And I don't know if this was, you know, coinciding with when Microsoft purchased it or not, but I used to spend a lot of time on LinkedIn because I thought it was valuable and I could connect with people. And now LinkedIn has become overrun with bots. Today, LinkedIn asked me if I wanted to play a puzzle game with people in a company that I don't even belong to. And it's and it's overrun with political discussions. And, you know, so in general, I feel like the world is shifting. And I know a lot of people who, in fact, I've had episodes on this show where I've had like LinkedIn experts who talk about how to maximize LinkedIn. So I'm not saying that LinkedIn is useless, but we're in a world now where people are skeptical. Like, I don't trust anything that gets sent to me when somebody sends me a direct message. Hey, I can do X, Y, and Z. I don't know that that's true. Mm-hmm. And you have to prove to me, the onus is on you or me, if it's the other way around, right? If I'm reaching out to somebody, I have to demonstrate to you my credentials. I have to demonstrate to you the body of work I've been involved in and that what I'm doing is successful in X, Y, and Z. And I just don't think it was that hard before. I think, you know, 10 years ago, people were much more willing. Oh, cool. Let's grab a virtual coffee and let's talk. Now it's very different. So I find it very interesting that you mentioned that. And I think there's a lot of, in general, I think entrepreneurship has shifted in a lot of ways too in this country. So I'm curious to get your take on that and what you talk about in the book about what kind of a new generation, just to end quotes, entrepreneur looks like compared to, you know, entrepreneur 1.0 from the past.
Just going back to the LinkedIn story you just gave us, Dr. Richard, I used to use LinkedIn to hire people. That was all we used it for. Look for people to hire, and it was very professional. That you could count on the people that would apply for those positions as well. And, you know, proper CVs, proper people that were really interested in working and had an actual background. Nowadays, once you open LinkedIn, because of the book, I'm very active on LinkedIn as well. Going on LinkedIn these days, you just see videos, promotional work, and it has shifted from a platform where you could find people, actual connections that could build your business or help each other to build a certain project, to more of a social media like Instagram, like Facebook. It's just everyone is in there posting videos and you know, information that might not even be very helpful for a lot of top tier CEOs. But coming back to your initial question, the new entrepreneurs, it has changed dramatically. I mean, it's gotten difficult. It could be difficult and easy, man. The internet has made a lot of things easy for us, especially with AI being introduced to us lately. A lot of things can be done, which could also be negative for entrepreneurs, because now you are taking away that rethinking of yours. You're not as creative anymore as you could have been, because now you rely on ChatGPT to give you ideas for almost everything. I see it out in emails and texts or letters that I receive. You just know that this was written by AI, which is taking away a lot of creativity from people that used to do this by themselves. And educational wise, it is just destroying the youth, right? On the other side, you got this concept of working from home. You got this concept from remote working, that everything could and should be done from home. And you should set up your life in a way. Even big companies are setting this up, that you could do everything from home. I just think it is possible. Yes, you could work from home. There's a lot of things that you could achieve from home. But as a young entrepreneur, you need to be alongside by other colleagues of yours, by other people around you. And I think this is what's ruining a lot of young entrepreneurs these days, that they like to sit at home. They try to do everything online. And are avoiding the personal interaction with colleagues and competitors of theirs. And I think this is something we need to really focus on the next coming years, especially if you're a young business person coming up. As you mentioned earlier, Dr. Richard, yes, there's that 1% generation out there that makes money overnight. I mean, e-commerce and Instagram and videos and YouTube, that's still there, yes. But as you mentioned, it is a very small percentage that achieves that goal.
And I think, too, part of the challenge that younger people have is they were raised in a world where many interactions were internet-facing first and human-facing second. But this is these are things, and the research bears this out. We're very much aware that for people to be socially effective, they need to have these skills that you really can't get them talking to somebody through Facebook or LinkedIn. So I've loved this conversation. Let me ask you this, because I love to ask people this, and I probably should ask it more often. 20 years from now, looking back on your career, your book, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want my name to be remembered as someone that tried to help rather than build his own selfish legacy. I want to be able to give back more than hold back more. That's always been my strategy and something I have put in as a vision of mine and a mission of mine both. Because I just think that helping others is more satisfying at the stage that I am today than just helping myself and being selfish. And this is where I see myself in 20 years. Hopefully, having a broader network of people that I can help overcome struggles, failures, and difficulties that they have, not just in business, in whatever aspect that it might be.
I love that. Our time has flown by together, Dr. Riza. This has been such a great conversation. As you know, I wrap up every episode of my show by asking my guests just this one question, and that is, what is your biggest helping, that one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
Never give up.
Mic drop. Yep. Short and sweet, but poignant. I love it. It's the book, Self-Made Maverick, available everywhere tomorrow. But Dr. Riza, give us a URL, give us something that we can look at now. If people want to learn more about you or get in touch with you.
My website is online. You could go on the website, drriza.com. You could download yourself right now, a free chapter, and subscribe for more information.
Perfect. And for those of you in the car, we got you covered. Everything Dr. Riza will be shared in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Dr. Riza, I've loved our conversation today. Thank you so much for spending time with us on The Daily Helping today.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Richard. It was lovely.
Absolutely. And to each and every one of you who took time out of your day as well, thank you for tuning in. If you like what you heard, if you're inspired, if you're going to go pick up Self-Made Maverick, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your social media feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping. Because the happiest people are those that help others.